I am Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, and this is the Strategic Christian Leadership Podcast, episode number 55. The simple purpose of this podcast is to help Christian leaders understand how planning and strategizing is important to carrying out the Great Commission. Our Bible passage for this episode is Luke chapter 22, verses 24-27. Which says, "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doeth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth." Our quote for this episode is from Ralph Waldo Emerson. He said, "Our chief want is someone who will inspire us to be what we know we could be." In this podcast, we are going through the fine books, Advanced Strategic Planning, A New Model for Church and Ministry Leaders by Aubrey Malfers, Deliberate Simplicity, How the Church Does More by Doing Less by Dave Browning, and Humilitas, A Lost Key to Life, Love, and Leadership by Dr. John Dixon. Our topic today is part 5 of chapter 4, Developing a Biblical Mission, what we are supposed to do, or what we are supposed to be doing from Advanced Strategic Planning, A New Model for Church and Ministry Leaders by Dr. Aubrey Malfers. He continues as follows. The third difference is that the purpose of the church is doxological, to honor or glorify God, or rather, to honor and glorify God, I would say. Thus, it is abstract. The mission of the church is practical, to make disciples. It is more concrete. When we make disciples, our mission, we glorify God and honor God. Our purpose, can somebody say amen right there, if you will? The focus of purpose and mission is different. The purpose focuses on God. He is the object of our glory and our praise, not ourselves or another. The mission focuses on people. We are to disciple people. We are to witness to people and tell folks about Jesus Christ, and once they are saved, to disciple them. I know that some drive all of that together, but I still see them as separate. We must tell folks about Christ. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel has the power to save a soul. And then we need to get them baptized and discipled and taught. And that is a lifelong process. Finally, Dr. Malfers goes on to say, and I have to say that because the last few statements I added. Finally, the purpose is for those within the church and those living in the community, whereas the mission is only for those in the church. On one occasion, I used a once popular church's mission statement. Our mission is to turn irreligious people into fully devoted followers of Christ. With a group of church planters, one asked if those in the church's community knew that this particular church, and I'm not going to mention the church because the church has been in the news over the past 2 to 3 years with great scandal and failure. But one asked if those in the church's community knew that this particular church viewed them as irreligious people. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your biblical instructions to us and help us to stick with that. At the same time, as the world grows more complicated, Lord, if we can find some wisdom and knowledge and understanding in the writings and explanations of your servants living today to help us to do your ultimate great commandment and great commission, Lord, help us to apply it, but above all, help us to apply what you simply told us to do. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel and to love all people. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is your day. Here's how you can be saved from sin and hell and have a home in heaven when you die. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law, and so have I. We all have. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now without Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, this is bad news indeed, but I have some good news for you, and I proclaim it to you today. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ," he was speaking about himself, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. May God bless you and keep you.